Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. From Jeremiah, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, you know us and you care for us tenderly, in total love, no matter what we go through in our life. Grant us your Holy Spirit to hear and receive your word, so that we trust in you and your Son Jesus, and that we know that you will be with us and lead us through this life to be with you in heaven forever. Strengthen us then as we hear you speak, and keep us in the true faith by which we have life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, have you ever lamented? Have you ever lamented? I can notice by a few grimaces, yes, there are some who have. Lament is a very strong word, and it's a word that expresses passionate grief about something. It expresses regret and disappointment. And you would think, why on earth should we have to lament? Especially as God's children. Well, in this world, we can see it changing. We can see it changing in some ways, but it's still a sinful world, isn't it? And I do enjoy having the opportunity to speak to older people, because there's a wisdom of them having lived for a longer period of time than even I have, and what they've experienced. I had that opportunity recently, and I asked the question, is the world a worse place than it was when you were growing up? And the reply was, well, comparing life then to where it is now, back then it was like heaven. That's a pretty powerful comment, isn't it? And I said, why is that? And this person said, well, back then you could leave things open and no one would pinch anything. And now people are not living in a right way with God. Back then when I was younger, it was shameful behaviour that was the problem. Now it's all murder. And that's pretty striking too, isn't it? I was listening to a teacher yesterday lamenting over the disrespectful behaviour of children in their early school years toward their teachers, and the teachers not being able to defend themselves against being physically harmed in some way. That's what is going on in our world today. Children go to school hungry, people have nowhere to live, and now people are living in despair. Even young people, they've lost hope. And that is just where Satan wants us to be. He wants us to despair, to lose hope, and through that time to turn our eyes off of Christ. And so he goes to work. Good morning, David.
Morning, sir.
Jerusalem is a place where Jesus lamented, but his lament was deep because it was over the lost souls of his people. They had no longer trusted in him, and they were trusting in themselves to get and make things happen the way they wanted. So much was their life of false faith, having all the worship and the offerings and continuing to show their holiness on the outside, their hearts were far from him. And then in 587 he took them into captivity because he wanted to bring them back. You see, God never lets his people go through harsh times in order to destroy them. He lets you go through harsh times in order to draw you close to him and to rekindle, restore, and nurture your faith in him. And why would you do that? Well, think about this lament here as it continues from Jeremiah. He's remembering the bitterness and the gall, and his soul is downcast. But then what does he do? He calls to mind. He brings to his mind something very important. He brings to his mind what God has done for him. Because of your great love, Lord, we are not consumed. Because of your compassion, we are safe, because your compassion never fails. Just like the sun came up this morning and will tomorrow morning if Jesus hasn't come back yet, so his compassion and his love for you is there. And he continues to pour it out. And so how do you go when you do have experienced times of lament, times of deep grief, times of passionate grief? What are you going to do? Well, there's the answer. We get to turn to God's word and have him speak to us. This is, as Tim Keller said, one of the most ancient forms of meditation for healing. To turn to God's word and have him speak to us. And that's just what the prophet says here. I say to myself, have you ever talked to yourself? Yeah. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. The Lord fills my heart. The Lord has me. I belong to him. He's everything to me. Tell yourself, I speak to myself, that is it. He's there, and the Lord is my portion, and therefore I will wait for him. No matter what the grief, no matter what the burden, no matter what the weight that is coming upon me, he's there, he's my portion, and I can wait patiently for him. And his promises are sure because he says he is good to those who hope in him, to the one who seeks him. For it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And doesn't he do it? Have you experienced praying for a loved one who's terminally ill? Perhaps praying for someone who's going through a means where they want to get healing that doesn't come from Jesus, and they're taken advantage of by other human beings seeking to be well in their emotions, their thoughts, or their physical well-being. And in the midst of that prayer, you know that you don't have the answer yet. And so you're called to wait patiently on the Lord and to keep praying. Well, he does keep working too. And we don't know just when he's going to answer the prayers of when we go through deep things. But we can be sure that what he says, even though he brings grief, he allows it, he will show compassion. He is so great with his unfailing love, and he doesn't bring willingly any affliction or grief to anyone. He wants all to be saved and to know the truth. And so you and I, we get to walk through life, don't we? Similar to those two marvellous people in the gospel reading today. One, the daughter of Jairus. She's dying, and her dad, he comes to see Jesus. He's the only one who he knows can help. And he gets the answer, wait a moment, I'll come. And then there's the woman, for 12 years, an incident of bleeding, not cured, seeing many doctors and at their hands suffering greatly, and in the end not having a cent in her bank account, taken advantage of. And where do they go? To Jesus. And there, with Jesus, that woman, if only I just touch the edge of his garment. Such is her faith in the healing power of Jesus, knowing he's Lord of all. And that faith carries her forward. And she waits patiently for not very long for that healing. Instantly she's healed. Sometimes we have to wait more patiently for healing. And sometimes our full healing only comes through that moment when Jesus takes us safely from this life into eternal life. But we know who to turn to Jesus. And then there's that situation of death. The little girl does die. And yet Jesus goes to her. He says, "Do not fear, believe." And he speaks to her, "Little girl, rise up." And she does. You see, Jesus is the one who has power over death. He's defeated death for you. And he is the one who will say at the day of resurrection, "Little ones, get up, rise." And he will bring you to life. Such is his power. And yet for a moment, for a time, and for seeming long time, we may have to lament yet in this life. It strikes me, 12 years this woman had this bleeding situation. It was the same. It started the very same year that little girl who died was born. For we're told she was 12 years old when Jesus raised her from the dead. 12 years. One starting life heading for death. The other one lived life in deep trouble. Jesus is there for both. And Jesus is there for you. He is the living Lord. He has power and strength and all authority in heaven and on earth. When he says, "I forgive you," you are forgiven. Every time he says, "I love you," you are deeply loved. When he says, "Go in peace," his peace is brought into your heart. His performative word goes to work, and through his word, he's at work in you. And so, when you lament in life because there's reason to lament, that's okay. That's what it's like living as a sinful person in a sinful world who sins and gets sinned against. But your lamenting is not empty. When your lamenting turns to Jesus, you turn to Jesus in prayer. He is the one who is there to carry you, to hold you with his faithfulness. He will never let you down. And no matter what deep situation in life you will need to go through, he will use it powerfully for blessing, to strengthen your faith and keep you in hope, a certain hope that can't be taken away, a hope that he belongs to you and you belong to him, a hope that he has given you life that death cannot take away, hope that you will be in his glorious presence and join with all the saints before and after you who will praise him in heaven. And so together with the angels, let us continue to live out our hope each day, continue to live out our hope as we come together to worship, continue to live out our hope as we, even now, sing together, but not alone, for the whole company of heaven joins us when we worship. For we sing together with the angels, archangels, and with all the saints who have gone before us already. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from this time forward and forevermore. Amen.